welcome to the very first episode of The Warrior Path, the official podcast for Huber Heights City Schools. I'm your host, Zach Frank, and I'm sitting down with Kathleen Bledsoe, coordinator of the district's annual STEM Day in the Park. Thanks for coming on the show, Kathleen.
Thank you for having me. I feel privileged and honored to be here, especially to talk about one of my favorite subjects, STEM Day in the Park.
Well, that's awesome to be here. So let's get right to it. So what led you to start STEM Day in the Park in the first place?
Okay, as I was working on my master's degree at Wright State University, I would see parents dropping their children off to do some of the great summer activities for children provided by Wright State. And I live here in Huber Heights. This is my home. And I know that sometimes it's very difficult for families to have the way to get their child down to a campus, to take them somewhere, to have the transportation or even the money to do that. We have a lot of talent here in Huber Heights City Schools, and I thought, why don't we bring those same kinds of wonderful activities to Huber so that families can see some of the extremely cool things that their children can learn. And that was from that I built on the idea of STEM Day in the Park. It's kind of like Tech Fest down at Sinclair, but on a smaller scale.
Okay, so it meets the needs of, the students in the district and all.
That was my hope, that we would be able to bring families and educators and STEM career people together to see what STEM is all about. It's not a full-blown STEM lesson, but more of a snapshot of what a child can learn in a STEM sort of way, science, technology, engineering, and math. And I have activities for preschool through high school.
Okay. That leads into my next question. So what are some examples of activities at the event this year?
One of the things that we have, we had animals alive there, so the children could come and see animals, and we've had Boonshoft Animals Alive several years. We also had a section for preschool where the children could dig for fossils and then make an etching of the fossil that they found, actual fossils. They were in a sand table, and they could dig them up. They could also do a chromatography, a chemistry lab, on a little kid level and make a butterfly. That one's a lot of fun. And then we also had slime. Everybody always wants slime. So we had some slime there, another chemistry lab for all ages. We also had robotics teams. We had robotics teams that are not just from Wayne High School, but from other places that actually called and asked me if they could be a part of our event. And that was very exciting. We also had a drone zone. Our Air Force ROTC cadets have a drone team, and they brought their drone in for our drone zone. We had an art table where we blend art with science, technology, engineering, and math to make it STEAM, not just STEM. And the students were able to build a raft build a little raft. And that was very, very cool. Two of my grandchildren especially enjoyed that event. There was also the sea perch robot. And we even had a video of that on our website of the sea perch. It's something that some of our students, our Wayne High School students, built in over the summer in a program. And it was there swimming around in the swimming pool and collecting things. Very, very cool. That's just some of the things. Those are some of the highlights. There are other things. People really need to get out to STEM Day so they can see everything that's there.
Wow, you really just dropped a whole load there.
Yes.
Like, so many activities, such a diversity of activities for everyone to do and see and experience. It really sounds like, it was a great event. So how has STEM Day in the Park evolved over the years?
Okay, we have more people, more kinds of things than we started out with. We also have, we still want everyone to have fun. We have more robotics than we used to have, and that really helps make the event. We also have more preschool things than we originally had, because I really believe that little children can learn if you give them an opportunity. It's kind of late to start doing science when you're in the fourth or fifth grade. You need to start getting excited about it when you're a little bitty person, and most of them are if you just provide that opportunity for them. We have the ROTC cadets have been wonderful from the get-go. They have helped us a lot. they have been on board. I don't think they were there the first year STEM won, but they've been there every year since. We also have people approaching me now to be involved, which is extremely exciting. I had a robotics group from Beaver Creek asked if they could be a part of our STEM Day because they don't have an event like that in Beaver Creek. So they asked if they could come to Huber Heights and be involved. So I've had others contact me that want to be involved. Sometimes the folks aren't exactly with the educational emphasis that we have, but it's a growing thing. We've had the firefighters every year from year one, and I really get excited about that because children can meet firefighters and police officers in a time when it's a fun event, not when something bad has happened and now we have an emergency and it's scary. So again, building rapport with our first responders, it's just so many things. I don't think I can name them all.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you just keep going on and on. It's like that's just how big it's gotten over the years.
It has become a tradition. I have some folks that it's the last Saturday in August, and so we make it in. It's at Shoalgate Park. We had it at the Y one time, but it's hard to line up the Y because they have so many activities going on. But Shoalgate is not used by as many people as some other parks are. So I think Shoalgate should have the nickname of STEM Day Park. It's a wonderful thing. We stop and pause and look around and see smiling faces, parents and children laughing and having a good time together. It's very exciting.
Okay.
It's very exciting.
So real quick to wrap things up here before the segment ends, what are some ways for students and local businesses to get involved with STEM Day in the Park for next year?
Okay, well, one thing I need to say is that the Huber Heights Athletic Foundation helps to fund STEM Day, and they have every year. The first year I won a grant, but every year since then, they have helped fund STEM Day in the park. And if somebody has, I like to give door prizes. We use educational things like backpacks, soccer balls, footballs. Those are educational things. In fact, this year, a little girl got a soccer ball. She was so excited to get that little $4.88 soccer ball from Walmart, but she was so excited. It just warmed my heart. But sometimes my dentist actually donated something a couple years ago, a toothbrush, electric toothbrush. And it's just helpful if people have something educational and they donate it. We do have to go through the school board to have it approved. But if they have an idea, they could contact me, Kathleen.Bledsoe at Huber Heights City Schools, and be involved. We had the engineering ambassadors from University of Dayton that came. They've been with me a couple years. So if there's an organization like that, the focus is educational, then they can contact me and we'll see about adding them to STEM Day in the Park 10. I also invite our elected officials. That's an add-on because it really
is. Can't forget those.
Never forget those guys. Yeah. We need them. But I appreciate that they come and see what teachers are doing. This is a Saturday, for crying out loud. A Saturday. Teachers are out there giving up their time. Students are out there giving up their time. STEM career people out there giving up their time. It is a gift to our community. And it's very, I tell you, you have to see it to really get the full experience.
Okay. That sounds great. And one more time for the people at home. That's Kathleen.Bledsoe at HuberHeightsCitySchools.org.
Right. If you go to the website, you can probably find me. Thank you so much, Zach, for having me on your very first podcast.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for coming on.
So that'll wrap this session. Head to HuberHeightsCitySchools.org/gallery to see the full photo gallery from the event. Follow us on social media, too. We're on Facebook and Twitter at HHCS District. Up next, how the wizarding world of Harry Potter is taking new life in the district. You're listening to The Warrior Path. And now, the moment you've been waiting for the whole podcast. You heard the anticipation during the last segment, and now your host, Zach Frink, is here with the one and only Morgan Kurtz.
Hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really good. It's been a long day, but I'm here.
That's great to hear. So anyway, for the people unfamiliar with Morgan, she's an intervention specialist at Charles Huber Elementary. And over the summer, she transformed her classroom into a scene from the Harry Potter novels. So yeah, so thanks for joining us, Morgan.
Thank you for having me.
So yeah, so I guess first question I got to ask you is, how long did it take to transform your classroom into this?
Well, all in all, it took about 100 hours. I spent a lot of the time actually making the things by hand, because coming from that teacher perspective, we make a lot of the things ourselves. So as you can see in this room, there are a lot of things I had to make myself, but it was really, really wonderful doing it all.
Okay, yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm sitting here looking around the classroom too. We're sitting here in classroom right now, and I'm just like in awe. I mean, it's totally better in person, and totally, like, especially from what I've seen online and stuff, night and day. So which scenes did you choose to depict here in your classroom? Because you got, like, a wide variety of stuff going on.
Absolutely. I've got a section where I have all the houses represented, and their many traits that are associated with each house. I have a huge, huge, huge on my wall here. It formerly was a waterfall, and now it is actually goalposts for the Quidditch game. And on top it says, "We have big goals." And then back here, I have a little owl ray. I have a lot of fan art up. I think it's really important for my students to see good examples of art, especially as we're reading the book. It's really cool for talking about different interpretations. I also have the Hogwarts outline in the back here, and a couple little hidden things all around the room.
Oh, hidden things. So, I mean, not to spoil it, but, like, what's a clue to the hidden things?
Well, I would say to look around up here. There are many things flying around. There's many little hidden Easter eggs and things hidden inside of trunks and in boxes and on every bookshelf and in pretty much every nook and cranny of this classroom. There's something different and something wonderful for the kids to get engaged with.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, I'm seeing, like, a bunch of golden snitches. So, I mean, I thought that was, you know, a really nice touch. So next question that's, you know, that's on my mind is, why Harry Potter? Why not instead, like, Transformers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Well, I did pick Harry Potter because I thought, you know, all of my kids at this grade level of 5 and 6, most of them would be familiar with it. It's not particularly gender-leaning in its interest for students, so I think that it was a really easy choice in that sense. But from a very personal perspective, I have always loved Harry Potter. I've read all the books, seen all the movies. I have about 3 copies of each book in this classroom. I have all the fully illustrated ones, and it was something that growing up really taught me to love learning. And for my students who are more struggling readers, it's so, so important for me to show them that there is magic in reading. There is excitement in reading. And it's really beautiful to really get into the feeling of it. And so stepping into this room, they're stepping into the world of it, and it helps them to get engaged with the book.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was, like, on different levels for you there. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So what's your favorite book then?
Oh my gosh, you can ask somebody, like, a favorite book. That's like asking someone their favorite child or their favorite student. Well, if I have to pick, I think I would probably say Goblet of Fire. I think that was the one I've read the most in my life. So that's the 4th book there. I just think it's beautiful, and it's a really wonderful story that totally sweeps you away, and you get totally lost in this world, and it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, I bet. I mean, I've read, you know, some of the books. I mean, I'm mostly a movie guy, so, you know, I've seen the movies up to the 3rd one.
Okay.
What is that?
That would be Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, yeah, Prisoner of Azkaban, yeah. And then I kind of just got lost in the sauce after that.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm still definitely, you know, a big HP fan. So fun fact, though, me and Harry actually share the same birthday.
Oh, my gosh, July 31st, isn't it?
Yep. Yep, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I always found that was interesting when I saw it, too, because I didn't even know it for the longest time. But I was like, oh, okay.
Well, so you definitely could have been the chosen one. If you continue to watch the series or read the books, it will make more sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I see those memes online, like, you know, when you're not chosen for Hogwarts and stuff. And
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you can actually see back here, I have all of the Hogwarts letters coming out of the fireplace back here, inviting each kid into the world of Hogwarts that is in my room.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's very cool. So you have this room here. So how do you incorporate it into your curriculum with your students?
Absolutely. As you can see up here, I have this really wonderful place value chart I had actually made over the summer in that kind of fun Hogwarts spirit, but is also incorporating when we do a lot of place value work this year with my students. And actually on my wall to the right, I have the alphabet, but it's actually a math alphabet. So it's all written in Harry Potter style, and there are little Harry Potter Easter eggs. And, for example, M stands for mixed number, and the mixed number used is 9 3/4. So, like, platform 9 3/4, it's just a little bit of Harry Potter everywhere in this room. We can tie it in with our curriculum, and we can make it also just a little fun.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, magic happening all around here. So who's your favorite character out of the series? I know that's personal to you, but
that's personal. I would say I've always loved Dumbledore's sage advice. And as a professor, I would say that he has to be one of my favorites, but I think McGonagall was always my favorite. I always identified, I knew from a young age I wanted to be a teacher, so I think identifying with the teachers in Harry Potter, maybe a little bit more than the characters, made a lot of sense to me, more so now as an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I can totally see that, but I got a little Harry Potter reference for you. Wingardium Leviosa. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, and you can actually see that on the back wall here. Just like in the movie, I have the flying feathers.
Wow, I didn't even peep that either, and look at that. But yeah, that's our podcast, our first podcast,
woohoo!
As a matter of fact. Yeah, well, thanks for coming on and really rounding out the show, Morgan.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited I get to be in the first one.
And we are officially done with the first episode of The Warrior Path. Go to HeberHeightsCitySchools.org/gallery to see the full photo gallery of Morgan's classroom. Don't forget to stay up to date with us on social media at HHCS District on Facebook and Twitter. If you have ideas for what we should cover next episode, head to bit.ly/warriorpathsurvey. I'm your host, Zach Frink, signing off for now. Join us next time on The Warrior Path.